I ask that you remain standing for our scripture lesson for the sermon. I'll be reading the eighth psalm. To the chief musician on an instrument of Gath, a psalm of David. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, even beasts of the field, the birds of the air, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. And all of God's people said, Amen. Heavenly Father, cause your word to sink deeply into our hearing, and may we live lives different lives more and more conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, the one made a little lower than the angels, the one in whom is found all dominion, the one whose name we bear. We pray this in his name, and all of God's people said, Amen. You may be seated. All right, I'd like to begin with two questions. This first question is nowhere. There's a cute little pink banded watch here. Does anyone know whose this is? Is this? No, that's not it. It's not it. That's funny. All right, we'll have this later. Okay, question for you. Has anyone here ever heard of the seven wonders of the world? Just lift your hand. Okay. All right. Can anyone here, we're not going to do this, can anyone here name the seven wonders of the world? You can do that. Okay. I'm not going to ask you to do that. All right. Maybe during the picnic. We may have a little seven wonders of the world count off or something like that. Usually when you hear of the seven wonders of, well, classically, I grew up hearing about the seven wonders of the world, and here are some things. Things have changed, by the way. This is why I didn't want you fellas to start answering what the seven wonders were. Classically, they would have included the Great Pyramid of Giza, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Temple of Artemis in Ephesus. Other lists, however, would include Stonehenge, the Colosseum, the Great Wall of China, and the Leaning Tower of Pisa. In November of 2006, it is interesting that the USA Today, it used to be a newspaper, and the TV show The Good Morning America, they teamed up with a list of, and I quote, new seven wonders, and I stop the quote there. And these were chosen by six judges. I read this article and I wondered who chose the judges. That was another wonder. Who chose the judges? But their list included the old city of Jerusalem, polar ice caps, which I guess since 2006 are not as large. The Mayan ruins and the great migration of Serengeti, and this one, the internet. That was one of the new seven wonders, the internet. Other categories, if you just do anything, so I asked, who's ever heard of the seven wonders? You could break it down by genre, which is commonly what happens. People say, Pastor Neil, tell us one of your favorite movies, and I'll say genre. What kind of genre of movie? Or literature, what's your favorite book? So there are categories of other seven wonders of the world. There's the seven natural wonders of the world, which would include, you'd hope, the Grand Canyon, Mount Everest. There are the seven wonders of nature. They distinguish that from the world. The Amazon rainforest would be an example. Seven wonders of cities. Seven wonders of the underwater world. The Great Barrier Reef is an example. Seven wonders of the industrial world. The Brooklyn Bridge. And how long the tolls will be needed. The London sewer system and Hoover Dam. And the seven wonders of the solar system, the asteroid belt, the rings of Saturn. That makes me wonder. So you'll hear about the seven wonders of the world, and then when somebody will say that something else is wondrous, you've got to see this, this is amazing, this is likely the eighth wonder of the world. They'll say, the eighth, this is bigger than the seven. Okay. There's part of the introduction. Today we come to the eighth psalm, and because this psalm is about this world, more precisely about some of the wonders of this world, and it's the eighth psalm, I'm just going to refer to it as the eighth wonder. Okay? Not the eighth wonder of the world, but the eighth wonder, just to get our bearings here for our sermon. Disappointment, Luke, I know. I heard what you said earlier. Where is it? Okay. All right. All right, this psalm. Let's take a look at this psalm. And here we are. This is a psalm which refers to, it goes from the nebula to the nursery, from creation to the cradle. God's glory is displayed throughout the expanse of the cosmos, and God's glory is demonstrated within the wrap and the folds of a cradle. The wonders of the heavens and the wonders of the mouths of little babies. By the way, it seems like every Sunday that we speak of God's children, God's covenant children, they're just happily active. It's just happy. And they should be here. This psalm, to quote Derek Kidner, goes from heaven to earth and it includes the glories in between. So from heavens to earth and the glories in between. He says that it goes from the stars to the sea creatures. Yeah, that's pretty good. Because of what is seen in the night sky, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers. That's fascinating, because the law of God says, book of Exodus, that God wrote his law with his finger. But now the cosmos is considered, the heavens are considered the work of God's fingers. What did he do? Just point? It's beautiful. When I consider your heavens, verse 3, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars. Now, sometimes we can see the moon in the daylight, but usually this is a reference to night sight. Night sight. Because of what is seen in this in the sky, in the night sky, this could be considered an evening psalm. Matter of fact, we've got a section of evening hymns in our hymnal. Most hymnals will actually have a section of evening hymns, something to sing in the evening, at supper, before you go to bed. Some have considered this to be an evening psalm. When I consider the heavens, the moon, and the stars, these are your glories. A song to be sung beneath the stars in the evening. It has been called the song of the astronomers, and it could also be called the shepherd's praise, the farmer's wonder, and a chant of wow. Boisterous. This may very well have been a boisterous song. And by the way, you gifted musicians, I would love to hear a version of this that is actually boisterous. Now, here, why might it be a boisterous song? I'm going to give you at least two reasons. Here we are. First of all, boisterous in the sense of a steady sound of praise. The creation itself will not keep silent. The creation is constantly declaring God's glory, God's majesty. So the creation, as we read this, is going on in a staccato, iterative way. Look here, look there, look up, look down. Consider the water. Go under the water. Go to the top. Go to the mountains. One time when hiking the Grand Canyon, one of the guides on the rim actually said, the Indians in this portion of the world used to call the Grand Canyon the upside-down mountain. I thought, now that's a good description. Have you ever been to the Grand Canyon? Thinking, wow. And just take that, flip it over. Amazing. The creation, constant, steady sound of praise. The creation will not keep silent. And then the crown of creation is mentioned. Little ones, those in the crib and cradle, the nourished babies, those image bearers take after their creator. Dr. Lightheart referred to our God as a chatty God. The image bearers, this is, hear him now. They're making noises. They take after their Creator. They're making noises. Even when they are at the breast, sounds of health and life and nourishment and joy. Early they make sounds. The cosmos and the children are declaring their Maker's praise. So it's a boisterous psalm of, and by the way, boisterous doesn't have to be loud. It can be continuous and steady and have layers and overlap. By the way, there's other noise going on in this psalm, but it's silenced. You know what? It's the raging noise of the enemies and the avengers, those who do not like the Lord or His ways or His little image bearers. And so what does the Lord do? He brings forth little babies to shh, silence. Be quiet, enemies. Or answer this. Right. There's another reason or two why this might have been a boisterous song, and it's found in the title. It's to the chief musician. Here, we're going to give this to the chief musician. On an instrument of Gath, is what some of your translations say. Hebrew, it's al-gitith or al-jitith. You know what that might be? It might be a reference to the region of Gath. Who came from Gath? Does anybody remember a really large fella who came from Gath? Anybody remember? Who? Who's it? Goliath, right. Goliath from Gath. Goliath was a Gittite. He was from Gath. And a young one, a comparatively little one, a youth, took him down. So this could be a song of victory. Lord, when I consider Your works and what You do, even through little ones felling, taking down the big ones. So that could be one reason. But the Hebrew actually has a reference to wine, winemaking, or the wine press. So some people have said, you know what this is? This is a song of the wine press. This is a joyful hymn for those who prepare wine. So let's think about it. You know what it would be then? We open up Psalm 8 and we're saying this. We're getting ready to sing this. Let us give thanks to the Lord. Let us praise the Lord for His victories on earth through the unexpected. And let's give thanks to the Lord and let's give praise to the Lord of creation for the gift of wine which comes forth from the soil of His creation, always declaring His glory. Al-Jatith. Now, anyway, that's a little bit of an intro to this psalm. Very simple today. We need to make a note, though. This psalm, this prayer does not deify creation. This song doesn't even glorify creation. This is not a song of Earth Day. That's not what this is. The song is clear, even if some are not clear. God has set His glory above the creation. It doesn't mean that the creation is not glorious, because just like the work of an artist speaks of a work of art speaks of the artist. Yes, of course, there's going to be a glory, and yes, star differs from star in glory. Yes, all that's in the Scriptures. But there's a greater glory. Creation speaks of the Lord's glory, as in a sense it's pointing up and out and around and within to the Lord's glory. There's a philosophy, a theory, and you may not know this, but we're surrounded by it. We breathe it. We hear it all the time. It used to be called pantheism. All is God. All is God. And so what there'd be with pantheism is a blurring of the Creator with His creation. So instead of recognizing a distinction between the Creator and everything that the Creator has made, pantheism says, you know what? All is God. Pantheism. All is God. This psalm does not fall into that problem. By the way, I love what Spurgeon said. He referred to pantheism. He says, you know what pantheism is? It's atheism wearing a fig leaf. It's really what it is. You know, and I love that analogy. It's really, there's really no one true God, so it's atheism, but you've got to have a little fig leaf because it's emphasizing the creation. That's a good line. Pantheism deifies, makes a god out of creation, and glorifies nature as a separate entity from the Creator. You know what we do? We recognize the Creator and His gifts and how His glory is proclaimed. Okay, this psalm is ultimately about Jesus Christ, but you know what this psalm does as it's pointing to Jesus Christ? This psalm does something wondrous. At the bookends of the psalm, the beginning and the end are, the Lord is majestic, and His majesty is seen in all of creation, and within creation, you find, and I'm going to go ahead and use the word, mankind. You find the Lord's image bearers right there. So amidst the astonishing vastness of the cosmos, from the brilliant heights of the star to the unfathomable depths of the sea, there's a wonder right in the middle of this about mankind. I wonder why. I wonder why. What? Why? In verse 4, there's a question that's asked. What is man that you're mindful of him? By the way, two different Hebrew words for man. What is man that you're mindful of him? Or the son of man, that you even visit him? There's a hint right there. What's the big deal about man? I've asked people here before, why did God create man? Why did God create? You could answer, He wanted to. You could answer, to declare His glory. You could answer, to declare His praise. All of that's accurate. There's more. The question is asked in verse 4, what is man that you are mindful of him? Remember, all of the Scriptures speak of Jesus. I wonder if we speak of Jesus. Because we are mankind. We are humanity. We are descendants of Adam and Eve. Do we declare Christ? Well, we'll get to that. What is man that you are mindful of? You know what? This is not a sassy question. Hey, what is man? This is not a disrespectful question. It's not a disrespectful question at all. It's not a pessimistic question like, hey, what's man? What's the big deal with man? This is a question of adoration. Wow. And I'd like you to join with me in this today, in wonder and adoration as to who we are. And then ultimately ask, do we point to Jesus Christ? So here we are. What is your view of mankind? What is your view of humanity? Is your view of mankind too high, where you're exalted? Man is the measure of all things. Man is what matters. Humanity is ultimately all that matters. Or is your view too low? We're just scum. It's remarkable we live in a day that is so confused over this, and that's because they're confused over the creator-created distinction. They don't get that, so they're not going to get this. They're going to go, you know what? You're everything. You really are all that matters. And then what they'll do is they'll discard other human beings. Pascal said, let us know our limits. We are something, and we're not everything. This psalm strikes this wonderful, beautiful balance. So let's consider this. Let's consider the low view of who you are, who we are, and the high view of who we are. And then let's consider the high view again of who we are, and then a low view. So back and forth. Ready? Here we are. We are the crown of creation. And yet we are made weak, and we cry, and we nurse, and we coo, and we have to learn how to crawl. Foster was just held. He cried. Weak. It's the crown of creation. Mankind. As this crown of creation, the pinnacle of the sixth day, he's made in the image of God. And even those whom you meet, with whom you disagree with politically, with regard to human sexuality, with regard to whatever, they're made in the image of God too. You look around right now. Turn around, do the owl head, look around. Everyone you see is made in the image of God. Everyone. Crown of creation. Weak and yet image of God. With the exception of our first parents, the image of God is brought forth from His image bearers. Husband and wife come together and babies are born. That's, oh Lord, how our Lord, how excellent is Your name in all the earth. Wow. I don't have words for this. I'm astonished. I love what R.L. Dabney once said. A man and a woman come together. God gives them a child. And you know what he called that child? By the two of you, man and woman, husband and wife, between the two of you, God has been pleased through you to bring forth an immortal spark. Sit down. Immortal spark. Look around. Parents, look at your children. You blessed grandparents, look at your grandchildren. Immortal spark. These little ones are to exercise dominion and control. You have made Him a little lower than the angels, and You have crowned Him with glory and honor. You, Lord, the glorious one, You've crowned Your little image bearers, mankind, with glory and honor. You've made Him to have dominion over the works of Your hands. Act like Me. You've put all things under His feet, sheep, oxen, beasts of the field. Those are some scary animals. Birds of the air, even the fish of the sea, and those that cut paths through the water. Whew. These little ones are to exercise dominion and control from weak and puny creatures. They are weak and puny. What is our Lord teaching us here? What is our Lord saying? There's something grand and there's a true frailty. This psalm begins by referencing newborns, nursing little ones. And you know what? When you take a look at a little nursing little one, what do you see? You see because they are needy. They are vulnerable. The world would say they're not even viable. If they mean by viable, make it on your own. Just let them live on their own. It's not the way the Lord has ordered it. And they're to exercise control and dominion? These grand, by the way, these grand and limited creatures remain vulnerable. Each one of us in this room is vulnerable right now. You know what? We're the image bearers of the Lord, and we're to continue His work of beautifying His world. Earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And you know what? We are susceptible as well to the creation. You are susceptible to the creation. We are dwarfed by the weather. We've got this grand position, and yet we are weak and puny. We are dwarfed by the weather. It's the last... some frightening storms. Wind. Control flood. Go ahead and control flood. These image bearers are... you tend to think of yourself too high? Whisked away. You tend to think of yourself as too low? Get creative. Build cities. Work on infrastructure. It's glorious. But we are susceptible to the creation. Earthquake or disease. The latest Time magazine front cover says we're not ready for the next pandemic. Pandemic. Rates past pandemic. What's the plural of pandemic? I don't know how to say that. Rates others. Bubonic plague and cholera. We're not ready, it says. How susceptible are we? We're all dying. And yet in them, in these image bearers, the Creator's majesty is on display. We are minute. We are a speck. We are a spot. Thomas Chalmers, you know what he used a comparison. He said, if you have a tendency to think of yourself as so grand and wonderful, he says, I would like to give you a comparison of your insignificance. Our comparative insignificance. Consider the glories of an extended forest. They would suffer no more from the fall of a single leaf. There's an insignificance here. There's a weakness. And yet, there's a mighty significance. It's only the Christian faith that sees this. We are created in our Lord's image. We are loved and being changed into our Lord's image. So, I'd like to do is end with two things. I'd like to ask you the simple, straightforward, in-your-face question. When we consider the mouths of babes, nursing infants, how has the Lord ordained strength and shown His majesty through nursing infants? This would be a healthy supper time evening consideration. How has our Lord displayed His majesty through little nursing infants? How? Little nursing infants, they've derived their life from another. They are dependent. God receives the glory in all of this. You know what? Everyone here has derived our life from another. We are all dependent. Not one of us here is able to make it on our own. Not one of us in that sense is viable. How is the Lord's glory and majesty on display through little nursing babies who grow up to be us? They're eternal. They're eternal. And in all of this, why did God create? Because He loves. Glimpses of our Lord's love. But there's more to this psalm, and with this we're going to end, because all of the Scriptures speak of Jesus. These image bearers, these little babies and nursing infants, whom our Lord has appointed and ordained to shut the mouths of His enemies. This may be offensive, but it's literally a shush. Shut up. Shh. Quiet. These little ones point forward to the Lord Himself. They're image bearers. Everything that the Lord does speaks of the Lord. And according to Hebrews chapter 2, this passage is all about Jesus. How? Let's end with this. In all of this, we see the Creator Himself. The Creator's signature, the Creator's presence, the Creator's ways. In all of this, we see the Creator Himself. And what is another way we see the Creator Himself? He became like us. He became like us. Just like us, without sin, but with flesh and blood and bone and hair and eye color and a mother. And yes, an earthly father and brothers and sisters. And He walked on the earth just like us. He was a baby. And that's the way every one of us has entered into this world. This is a psalm about Jesus Christ. But that's not all. He was the Word, the eternal Word. He was the eternal message. And you know what He did? He became for a little while even lower than the angelic messengers. When He was born as a baby, who sang? Angels. They sang of the birth of this one. This is a psalm, an evening song, a joyous, boisterous song about Jesus entering into His own creation. And that's not all. He submitted. He was in subject. He was in subjection to His own creation. The crown of thorns pierced Him. The tree held Him. The earth received His blood. The earth of His own fashioning. But let's go back to His birth. He was born in a low place. He was born among the cattle. The very one who has dominion over all the works of his hands lowered himself. In the presence of sheep and oxen, beasts of the field. And there he lay. He was the mighty, he is the mighty and majestic one, and he humbled himself, being made subject to creation, all the while maintaining might over the wind and the water. Shh. Peace. Be still. And yet he succumbed to death, the most human matter of all. This is a song of Jesus Christ. Do you not care that we are perishing, Lord? Yes, I care this much. I shall die for you.